This is Tony Brew Ministries, presenting the old-time preaching from God's Word for a new generation, reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Here's a message that's taken from a Friday night Zoom session. Scriptures are 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44, and verse 51 and 52. The title is, The Resurrection of the Dead. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in our resurrection chapter, starting at verse 42. Won't be there right away, but we'll get there in a minute. The Bible talks about the resurrection of the dead. There are several times when that expression in the Bible is mentioned, the resurrection of the dead. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus rebukes the Sadducees for erring, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, and for not believing in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That's where they, Sadducees, they were also sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. When Paul preached to the people of Athens about the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, "We will hear you again concerning this matter." That's Acts chapter 17, verse 32. In Acts 26, 6, and also in verse 21, Paul said that it is because of the resurrection of the dead that he was being called into question and interrogated. They continually tried to interrogate him and break him down and question him. He said it's because of the resurrection of the dead. That's why everybody seems to be against me. That's why I'm being questioned. That's why I'm being interrogated. It's because of the resurrection of the dead. If you preach a gospel that doesn't offend anybody, you won't have any trouble as far as this world's concerned. But you will have trouble in the kingdom of God. But if you preach the gospel that talks about the resurrection, and the gospel that talks about the blood, the gospel that talks about the cross, if you preach the real gospel that does something, you're going to have trouble in this world. In Acts 24:15, Paul teaches that the resurrection of the dead will include both the just and the unjust. He presses the issue with King Agrippa, those around him, chapter 26, verse 8. He says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? If God is able to make everything in 6 days, and he's able to do all of what he does, why should it be thought a thing incredible or unbelievable with you that God should raise the dead?" God can raise the dead. He does raise the dead. He has raised the dead, and he will raise the dead. The resurrection of the dead is real, and it's not only real because Jesus came out of the grave, but it's real because you and I, we have that glorious privilege of coming out of that grave one of these days. The resurrection chapter teaches it. It talks about the resurrection of our body. It talks about the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15, it has Paul proving the resurrection of the dead. The very fact that Christ is risen proves it. The presence of faith, the absence of sin, the forgiveness of sin in the life of the believer confirms the resurrection of the dead. Paul finally exclaims, "By all means, I just have to attain to the resurrection of the dead." Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. I must know him. I already know him as Savior. I already know him as Lord, but I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. If by any means, by all means, I have to attain to the resurrection of the dead. So what about the resurrection of the dead? It's not just something that Christians say. It's not just a cliche. But it's something that you and I can understand. The Bible gives us what the resurrection of the dead is. In 1 Corinthians 15, 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Now this is what it is. He said, this is like this. This is what the resurrection of the dead is. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. when you put a body in the ground, and I know that we try to be civil about it, we try to be respectful and dignified about it, but when you put a body in the ground, that's one of the most corruptible things that you can do. It is sown in corruption. When a person dies, they begin to decay immediately, and if you don't take proper precautions, bad things can happen. So we have ways now that we can do things that make it appear less atrocious and offensive and all that, but it's still a corruptible body. And without life, without spirit, without blood in our bodies, we are absolutely corruptible. It is sown in corruption, but it's raised in incorruption. When the dead are raised, we are raised incorruptible. There is no more corruption. Death has no more victory over us anymore. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. We try to be honorable when we have funerals and when we serve families, and we do the best that we can. And thank God for funeral services and homes that help families to feel as good as they can about something that's so bad. And thank God that there are ministers. Thank God that there are people who serve families in that way. But it's still a thing of dishonor. When you have to take someone and you have to put them in the ground, you have to bury someone, you have to stand before a family and do a service to try to comfort them from the Word of God. But really, there's a finality as far as this world is concerned to death. Death has a coldness and a finality and a hurt and a pain about it. You try to make it sound where it's not as bad, but there is a dishonor. It is sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. The song said, sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise. And then the little squeaky girl says, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. The tongue-tied guy said he didn't know whether he's having a new wife or a new life. But anyway, praise God. It's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Even Jesus, when he was crucified through weakness, but he lives by the power of God. He allowed himself, the Savior of the world, the Lord of glory, to be crucified in weakness, to be laid in a grave. He allowed himself to die, sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise, he came up from that grave. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And then it says, up from the grave he arose. He arose victorious o'er his foes. He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. And he is a living Lord today because of it. It is sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We have a natural body now, just like Jesus did. He came into the world. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He had a natural body. We have a natural body. It is sown. When a person dies, I don't care if they're cremated, I don't care if they're buried in the traditional way, when they die, they are sown in weakness. They are sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. When they come out of the grave, when we come out of the grave, we're not coming out as a natural body. We're coming out as a spiritual body. Our body, Philippians chapter 3, the end of the chapter says, will be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the power whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. We have a natural body now. It is filled with corruption. It has shortcomings. It has limitations. It has sight limitations. It has walking limitations. It has things that it cannot do. There are pains. There are aches. There are breaks. There are all kinds of things that happen to the body now. But thank God for that glorified body that we will have. God has promised us a glorified body. One of the benefits of being a child of God is to have the hope of the resurrection. The same hope that Jesus had when he came out of that grave is the same hope that you and I have. The resurrection. Christ, the first fruits, became the first fruits of those who slept. Because he was raised, we will be raised also. Because he lives, we will live also. In verse 51 and 52 of that resurrection chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, behold, I show you a mystery. He's going to show us a mystery now. So when he shows us a mystery, the mystery won't be a mystery anymore because he shows it to us. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There will be some who will not die. And he uses the word sleep. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Those who are raptured into the sky, all of us will be changed. Some will come forth out of the grave. Others will be translated instantly like Enoch was. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, how will it happen? Verse 52 tells us how it happens. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. When the rapture of the church takes place, three things will happen instantaneously. First of all, when the trumpet will sound, then the dead in Christ will be raised, and the third thing is we who are alive and remain will be changed. And it happens in a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. It's not talking about the seven trumpets in the book of the Revelation. This is talking about the rapture trumpet, the one that we're looking for. We're not looking for those trumpets that Pastor Ronnie talks about in the book of the Revelation. They will happen, but we're not looking for them. We're looking for that rapture trumpet that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's why we can comfort one another with these words. It will happen. When somebody mentions now the resurrection of the dead, you don't have to be in the dark. You don't have to wonder, because you know now what the resurrection of the dead is all about. We haven't experienced it all yet, but we will. But you know, it is sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it comes out a spiritual body. And how does it happen? At the rapture, he tells us, in a moment of time, in a flash, three things happen. The trumpet sounds, that's one. The dead in Christ, those who are buried, our loved ones who've gone on before, will be caught up together. Their body will come together with their spirit instantaneously. And we who are alive and remain, that's the third thing, we will be translated just like Enoch was. We will be raptured up into the sky. We'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God for the resurrection of the dead. Because the resurrection of the dead means there's life forevermore. That's what eternal life is all about. He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. How do you have everlasting life? Well, you have it as a gift of God because you're saved. But everlasting life means the resurrection of the dead. You're not dead anymore. You come out of that grave and you're alive. Your spirit never dies, of course. You know that. But the resurrection of the dead is the confirmation of our eternal life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And when you have life, you have eternal life, you have everlasting life, you have resurrection life, the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said, there is a resurrection. All who are in the graves will hear my voice, and they will come forth, some to life and some to everlasting condemnation. There is a resurrection. There's a resurrection of the just. There's a resurrection of the unjust. There's a resurrection of the lost. They will come forth. That's the unjust. They will be judged as the white throne judgment. You and I don't want to be there. And we're not going to be there. We may be there to look, but we're not going to be there. Our judgment is that resurrection trumpet, that resurrection rapture shout. sound of the trumpet. We will be raised and we will be changed instantaneously. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. That's that rapture trumpet. Could sound any moment. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That, my brothers and sisters, is my message. Resurrection, rapture, the resurrection of the dead. It could take place at any moment. May Jesus Christ be praised.
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word, reaching a new generation for Jesus Christ. This message has been entitled, The Resurrection of the Dead. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ is your risen Lord and Savior today. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.